It's time for your weekly dose of nostalgia with the 80s and 90s Uncensored. I am Milo Dennison.
And I'm Jamie Fenderson, and today it's Steve Jobs versus Bill Gates. Heavyweights in the tech industry.
That's right.
Smackdown!
We need Smackdown noise effect there.
Yeah, yeah. Only maybe kind of computerized, like all nerdy, like 8-bit.
Yeah. I will win this war, this battle. Yeah. I am nerdier than you.
Yeah, these guys are worth talking about, and they're contemporaries. And they were both icons of personal computing and you know, just our modern world. These guys had a lot to do with it. So, of course, it's interesting to pit them up against each other. I'm sure, you know, we're the only ones who've ever done this.
Probably. Definitely on this one.
Yeah. So you have Bill Gates, mm-hmm. and I have Steve Jobs.
That's right. So I guess the question is, who goes first? Me, because I'm the winner? Or do you want to go first because you're going to be the loser?
Go ahead, man.
All right. We should point out that, yes, Bill Gates is still around. And of course, they've been alive since before the 80s and 90s and after. But the 80s, I guess, is really, and 90s is really when these two tech titans grew to fame and power as the computer became something that ended up in pretty much everybody's home during those years.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, or Billium, as I like to call it. Get it? Because Bill, plus he's worth a billion, and his name's William, so he's Billium. Get it? Get it?
No. Yeah. Keep going, man. You lose.
All right.
Let's move on.
William Henry Gates III, born in 1955, Seattle, Washington, our hood. Another reason why he's the winner. So a few things about Bill Gates is, of course, he has been the world's richest man at various points throughout his life, 13 years total in exact, and probably could still be if he weren't giving away so much of his money, because he's such a nice guy like that. He's pretty much always in the top 10, however. He started off, actually, just being like a normal student, as you are, a bit awkward, a bit nerdy, but he did excel at studies, and he went to Lakeside School in Seattle, and he was offered a computer class, and he was like, what is this amazing machine in front of me? And he was so adept at it that he actually wrote a tic-tac-toe program in BASIC computer language that allowed users to play against the computer. That was when he was 13. He graduated from Lakeside in 1973 and scored 1590 out of 1600 on his college SATs. So he did almost as good as me.
Almost.
He met a good friend of his, whose name we also recognize by the name of Paul Allen, when they were in school together. And they became really good friends, bonding over their enthusiasm for computers. And during this time, they actually developed additional computer software, including a payroll program for a computer company. They also hacked their high school's scheduling program and got caught doing that because that's how nerdy they were.
Ferris Bueller.
Pretty
Chris
much.
Bueller action.
At the age of 15 in 1970, they went into business together developing TrafoData, a computer program that monitored traffic patterns in Seattle, and they made $20,000 for that. Gates went to enroll at Harvard University, originally planning to be a lawyer, but dropped out in 1975 at the age of 19 to pursue a business with his partner, Paul Allen, which turned out to be a company we have all heard of, called Microsoft, originally called Micro-Soft, a blend of micro and computer, and then, of course, the hyphen went away. The first computer program was done on BASIC software, and it ran in the Altair 8800 computer. And it's cool, if you watch a video of it, it's all on paper. So what it is it's a rolling spool of paper with a bunch of holes in it, and that's the code. And interestingly, they didn't actually have the computer. They actually just wrote the code for it and then went to Altair and said, hey, we've got code for your computer, and set up a meeting. And Steve Allen actually went because Bill Gates looked so young they were like, there's no way they're going to buy that. We know what we're doing, that we're in business. So it was just Paul Allen that went and sold them the program to Altair. 1979, they moved to Bellevue, Washington, just east of Seattle. And they've been a Washington staple ever since. By 1979, the company was also grossing approximately $2.5 million. At the age of 23, he was the head of a multi-million dollar company. He's so software adept and had such a keen business sense that he would work as a spokesperson. He would write code. He would often rewrite code when he felt that people who worked for him didn't do it good enough. At around this time, he met a guy by the name of Steve Jobs, because your pal Steve was working on computers. And what Gates did is they actually developed a soft card that plugged into the Apple II computer that ran business software on it. So the Apple didn't actually have the software, and Gates was like, dude, let me upgrade your computer for you guys and develop this program. And they two actually worked together for a while. He went and made a deal with IBM to build an operating system for them, which he, of course, didn't have because he's that good of a deal maker. So he went and bought it from some guy for $50,000. And that was MS-DOS, something we've all heard of. He then had a meeting with Mr. Jobs, and Mr. Jobs showed him the new Mac interface. And Gates was like, I like that. I'm going to develop something like that for a PC. So he went and developed Windows. And we've all heard of Windows. In fact, the majority of computers around the planet currently run Windows and have run Windows ever since. Yeah, so they've been sued a few times, but usually they've done all right in the lawsuits. In 1986, that's when Bill Gates took the company public with an IPO of $21 per share. And if you bought in at that time, you are a very well-off person. That made him an instant millionaire at the age of 31 years old. So think about that, listeners. As you're listening to our show, driving into work, slaving away for the man, to two guys that are regularly unemployed and do a podcast and are well over the age of 31, he was a multimillionaire. He held 45% of the company, and his stake was worth $234 million at the time of the IPO. 1989, they introduced Microsoft Office, something we all use. In the 90s, they had Internet Explorer. And I should point out, in 1998, when Steve Jobs returned to his job at Apple, he needed to make a phone call to an old frenemy of his, Bill Gates, and said, hey, buddy, can you help bail Apple out? And Bill Gates said, yeah, I'll bail you out, man. I'll bail you out. And the two actually kind of rekindled the friendship after that. It was in 1999 that his wealth topped $101 billion due to his stake in the company. And since leaving the company, so we can go in and in, he's done all this other stuff too. But basically, he went off in 1994 with his wife at the time, started the William H. Gates Foundation, which is a philanthropy organization where they basically try to fight HIV, infections, diseases, global warming, all that kind of stuff. He's won Time Magazine, one of the most influential people of the 20th century, 2005's Person of the Year, several honorary doctorates because he never actually finished his college degree, knighted by as a Knight Commander of the Order of the British Empire. Yep. Order of the Aztec Eagle by the Mexican government, Medal of Freedom by President Obama, blah, 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 blah. Awards up the wazoo. He is, like I mentioned, fighting climate change. He signed up along with Melinda and Warren Buffett for the Giving Pledge, which is committed to basically donating at least half their wealth, if not more, throughout their lives. He has actually said that he has paid more taxes than any individual ever and has done so gladly and is a proponent of higher taxes for the filthy rich as he is. So he is not just a giving person, not just a super intelligent person. He is okay. He's not one of those one percenters who's like, give me more. He's like, I'll gladly share it. Yeah, that's how amazing he is. I know. I could go on because he's just so amazing, but I want to give you an opportunity to talk about.
Yeah, Bill's pretty amazing. It's true. Well, Steve was also born, Steve Jobs, in 1955. So when I say they're contemporaries, they were, but Steve Jobs was born in San Francisco, which it was not quite Silicon Valley yet, but he helped turn it into Silicon Valley. And he was adopted. And I knew that, but I kind of looked into it a little bit more. So his parents, I guess, were intellectuals. His biological mother was getting her master's degree, but for whatever reason, put him up for adoption. And then his parents were just some kind of normal blue-collar folks, and they almost didn't sign it over, but they promised that he would go to college. So then they signed him over. Interesting story. So I guess he's from, he grew up kind of just a normal blue-collar family, but his parents were like intellectuals, but they just didn't want to have a kid, I guess. So I
As
thought
a
that
lot of
was
smart
interesting.
people are, a lot of smart people are like, man, kids suck. I want to
Yeah.
contribute to the intelligence of society and all, but I raise one.
Well,
Fuck
this
that.
kid didn't suck though, because he turned up be pretty badass. They
Regretted that
probably were
later
like,
on.
hey, I probably gonna, yeah. But yeah, so he was raised in just a normal house in what was then Silicon Valley. And he did go to college in Portland. He went to Reed College, but he only went there for a little while, and then he was like lame. He was kind of a hippie. So then he took a job at Atari as a video game designer in 1974. And the only reason he did that was so he could save enough money so he could go on a like Buddhist pilgrimage to India, which is what he did. That's kind of badass. Like, oh, I'm gonna quit college and get a job at Atari and then save enough money and go on a pilgrimage. So he came back in 74 and he met with his buddy Stephen. Stephen was not
Wozniak.
Wozniak. Wozniak,
You
yep.
can call him the Woz.
The Woz. He met with the Woz, and that he was his former high school buddy. They were high school buddies, and his the Woz worked for Hewlett Packard. And then Wozniak told Steve Jobs about him just building this computer. Hey, I'm building a computer logic board. And so Jobs suggested they go into business together because the Woz was, smart at that, but Steve was too, but he was also a good marketer. He can make some deals, right? So they did. They went into business in his parents' garage. Then that's where they designed the Apple One. It was the logic board. It was the first Apple computer, was the Apple One. They built in the Jobs's family garage with money they got from like selling Steve's like hippie wagon, and Wozniak sold his programmable calculator. Like, they sold stuff to actually make this computer. I just think that's so interesting. Like, you look at how everything is today, and it's guys like in their garage. Started out guys in their garage, right? But Steve really understood, like, he started to understand that the personal computer was going to be a thing, right? So then they designed and improved the model, and then they made the Apple II along with like this kind of sleek molded plastic case to go around it, so it didn't look all like open. And they made the Apple II, and it was kind of amazing. So they were able to obtain some more financing, and they started Apple Computers. And even though he was all hippie and stuff, he went and he actually got money for the for all of that. And he started Apple Computers with the Woz. He went, so I think what you were talking about before was when he was showing him the GUI. Well, he didn't make that quite either. He went to Xerox Corporation. It's called the Palo Alto Research Center in 1979. And that's where they were showing him the graphical user interface and a computer with a keyboard and something called a mouse. And the fact that it could like open windows and there were graphics. And I don't think Xerox knew what they had, but Steve Jobs did. So he kind of took that and he started designing. First, it was called Lisa, but later, they called it the Mac. He called it the Macintosh. So this new computer was his baby, based on that graphical user interface, and he made the Macintosh. And the Macintosh was revolutionary, man. It's like it's what you would think of a computer today, like maybe the first one. Like, it's got a mouse, it's got Windows, it's amazing. And so in 1984, Steve Jobs was so good at introducing things. Like, he'd get up and demo products and people would think he's godlike. Like, he's just really good at introducing things. And in 84, he had that commercial, and it only showed once during the Super Bowl, but it was the 1984. It's basically taking a jab at IBM. Like, yeah, the Macintosh is here. It's not, it doesn't have to be like that kind of 1984. It was this really cool ad. So he's really good at marketing things, right? So he kind of blasted the Macintosh out there with his awesome ad, and it became pretty popular. But the board, they were like, okay, this guy's kind of unhinged. So they kind of demanded that he get like a real businessman to run the company. So he went to talk with Scully, Mr. Scully, who at the time was the CEO for PepsiCo. And Steve Jobs said, hey, you need to come work for me, because otherwise you're just going to be selling sugar water forever. Do you really want to do that, or do you want to kick ass? So Scully came on board, and he was running the thing. But then later, Scully and the board booted Jobs out of his own company. They said he was too unhinged, and they booted him out of his own company that he made, that he founded. But do you think he went, oh, just like put his tail under his legs and just like went down like a little punk? No, he did not. He started a new company called Next. So he was still doing his computer. So he's doing really high level computers, like really nice hardware. But it wasn't doing very well because it was so expensive. But then he also bought a company from George Lucas, a little company you might know called Pixar. And he kind of pioneered the whole computer graphics animation thing. And in 1995, they made Toy Story. He's the kind of guy that you don't like, you can kick him out of his own company, and then he's just going to start other companies. He's just going to keep doing things, right? And then in the 90s, Apple kind of went downhill. It wasn't doing very well. And some guy named Bill Gates was kind of like kicking ass and like making Apple like kind of suck, because, you know, Steve Jobs left the company, and then Bill Gates is like, well, I got something for you. Little thing called Windows. So then they had him come back. And then they used his operating system from his company, which they bought. So they bought the company. Apple bought the company that he started after he started Apple. And they used that as the Mac iOS, the operating system. And then he started doing cool stuff in the 90s. Like, just things like he made the computer. It was just one screen with a cool kind of transparent. He made it sexy. And people loved it. The Mac, people loved it because it was really cool. And he made things cool again. And Bill gave him a little bit of a little dough to help him keep Apple alive. So that's really nice of him. So he brought Apple back. And then in 2001, we're going past the 80s and 90s, but you know about iTunes. He started doing iTunes, which was revolutionary for the music industry, because it's like with all the Napster and all that stuff going on, he's like, hey, music industry, I can save you, but you can only use my stuff. And they went on board with it. And then later he came out with the iPad and a little something called the iPhone, which was pretty revolutionary, because that was a big deal, the iPhone in the mid-2000s. That was like the gold standard for smartphones. So while Bill was goofing around with all his lawsuits and the Zune and the Windows phone. But really, yeah, Microsoft, it's funny because Microsoft, when Steve Jobs left Apple, kind of took over. But then Steve Jobs came back, and then Microsoft tried to catch up. It's really tit for tat. But yeah, the guy is revolutionary. He's an awesome product designer, and I think he's just a brilliant marketer. This guy created products that people didn't even know they wanted. That's the cool thing about it. And I think probably the same for Bill Gates too, is they created things that people didn't even know they wanted. They solved problems that people didn't even know they had. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
That's
definitely a
why these.
sign of like a genius of being like, you don't think you want this, but I guarantee when you see this, you're going to want it. And yeah, that
You
is.
don't even know that you want this, but when you see it, you're gonna be like, oh, I have to have that. And you know, that the Apple products were definitely that way. But I think Windows and Microsoft products in their own way were that way, especially for businesses. I don't think Microsoft's very good with consumers, but they're like, not everything they do is great, but they're great for businesses. Like, businesses are like, yes, Microsoft is my thing. But I think Steve Jobs was far more into like that individual consumer and designing products for them.
Yeah.
But I think both these guys are brilliant, absolutely brilliant guys.
Yeah. And to this day, like both companies keep bouncing back and forth for like, you know, the most valuable company in the world, right? Like for a while it was Apple, for a while it was Windows or Microsoft. I don't know which one it is right now, but they're both like neck and neck continually, even though neither of these guys really run the companies anymore. And it is interesting because I was watching about it, like, you know, they had a friendship and then they kind of became enemies. But it's interesting how they later became friends and were actually pretty friendly towards each other. Like you'd see like interviews, the both of them are doing interviews together and joking around and having a kind of a friendship, which is kind of cool considering like all that they went through over those many, many years.
I think ultimately they probably had a lot of mutual respect for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. It's too bad, though, Steve Jobs didn't believe in science all that well when he got cancer and decided to snort incense fumes or run around in a hippie circle and you know, do some chants or
Well, he got a liver transplant, so obviously he believed in it enough to do that.
yeah, because didn't they say, like, I mean, maybe if he had been more serious about his cancer treatment earlier on, he might have possibly lived, because he tried a bunch of like natural homeopathic therapies before he actually got serious about it.
Well, he was a hippie. And it's funny because these hippies are the ones who turned out to be like the computer guys later, right?
Totally.
Because then places like Seattle and San Francisco were probably the hippie centrals too, the West Coast hippie central places where people are sharing ideas and taking hallucinogenics or whatever. Like, wouldn't it be amazing if you could run like three programs at once and they were in their own windows and you just controlled it with something called a mouse?
Yeah.
That's a trip, man.
What should we name it? Well, it looks kind of like a mouse, so let's call it a mouse. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
What do you think we should call this thing with windows? Let's call it Windows,
let's call
man.
it
That's what it
Windows.
is.
Genius. Genius.
It's not just a phone, it's an iPhone.
So to make a point for my guy and Microsoft in general, like one advantage to Microsoft products is they actually work with other computer products and stuff, whereas Apple is kind of inbred with everything. Like, you know, you have to use your iPhone with your Mac, with your Apple Watch. They're really not fans of you connecting any of their Apple devices to anything other than another Apple device, hence getting everybody into the cult of Mac, which is an appropriate term. So at least Microsoft is willing to let Mac and other companies use Office. At least they're willing to, you know, let multiple computer manufacturers use Windows. They're pretty open to a lot of different things, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the good things about Microsoft products is they have more of an ecosystem. So you could get this type of computer if you like Hewlett Packard or Dell, or if you like these different types of computers. So I think there's more of an ecosystem there.
Yeah.
So I will say that that's something I do like. But what Apple does, it does so well. Like, I had an iPhone before I broke it, but but it's just better than anything any other mold, but just better. Now, is it more expensive and is it pretty much not compatible with anything else? Kind of like that, but it's better, right? So yeah, that's true. I do like the Microsoft kind of ecosystem, but but the Apple stuff is just good. It's good shit, man.
No, I'll agree with you. And it does. I mean, yeah, you have to use everything with other Apple products, but it all does integrate really well and works really well. To whereas yeah. If you're using, you know, Windows on something else, you know, like trying to access certain Windows type things from my Android phone sometimes might be a bit of a challenge, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. 'Cause of course Android wants you to use all the Google products and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and Apple stuff also has just cool factor. Like I remember the 90s, they came out with that Think Different campaign.
Yeah.
And it's all these kind of revolutionary people, cool people, like famous jazz musicians or just cool people. And it's just them and it's just Think Different. And that was it. Like the simplicity of the Apple design and also the way they're marketing the simplicity, but the impact. It's very cool. It's very
true.
Cool.
It is true. It is true. I can't argue with that one. But we like to ask this question on these verses. Put Gates and Jobs into a cage. Who's walking out of that cage match?
Oh, like, is it an intellectual cage or is it like, are they actually fist fighting? And then is it like Steve Jobs when he's kind of like fourth stage cancer? Or is it like the younger ones?
I think we're in an 80s and 90s show. These both became very prominent in the mid 80s. So 1985, Jobs and Gates. So they each would have been what, 30 and 85?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. 30-year-old Jobs.
I don't know. I think if it's a physical fight, I think Steve Jobs, because he even got fired from his own company for being difficult. I think maybe he threw a few computers and I think maybe he can get more physical. But if you're going to get intellectual, I think maybe Bill has it there, cuz he's got the
genius IQ.
That higher IQ and the guy reads
a dozen books a day.
The crazy stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm with you on that. I think physically, Jobs would smack down Gates, but you put them in front of, I mean, because like you said, Jobs was good at the marketing aspect, but he needed Wozniak to actually do a lot of the work, whereas Gates could actually get in there and, you know, code and do that kind of stuff. So,
Yeah. Well, what are our friends out in Podland think? Let us know.
As always, you can reach us on our website, the80sand90s.com. We're on Instagram at the80sand90s.com. You can leave a comment on the podcast app. We're on the Podbean app or whatever podcast player it is you listen to. Let us know who you think is the winner of these two tech titans.
Do it. Let us know.
And with that, we will say we are out of here to go solder together some motherboards and write some code for our new venture called JMO Solutions. We'll see you when we're billionaires.
If you want to invest, let us know. We're looking for angel investors.
Open to angel investors.